TSN analyst, former NHLer, Ray Ferraro, joins us once again. Ray, how you doing?
I'm good. Sorry, missed your long time there. I kind of got sidetracked.
Hey, no problem. Hey, did you ever play lacrosse growing up?
No, you know what? It wasn't big here. It's big in Vancouver and New Westminster and stuff. But I grew up in Trail, and there really wasn't much of it. I didn't know much of it at all.
Do your kids played at all?
No, you know what? My little guys, you know, we haven't exposed them to it. The older guys never did. I mean, they grew up, kind of bouncing around wherever I was. And so they never did. And, you know, it's funny, you know, Bob McKenzie's a huge, huge fan of it. And he grew up with it. And he talks of, you know, of these great players that he watched play and how much it helps, you know, hockey players and the toughness of the sport and how fast it is. And I just never, it was one of those sports I just never, ever got exposed to. I understand it, but I would never be able to tell you the intricacies of it at all.
Yeah, just I asked because, you ever been on any team where you won 13 games in a row?
13's a heck of a lot. Mm-hmm. I think 9 or 10 probably would have been as much as I can remember. I know my first year in junior A, our team went like 43-5, so I assume that
nice.
We would have won 10 in a row somewhere there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but, that, you know, I mean, just I was just listening to you say the Rush are 13-0, and you of course, you got to be, without even knowing anything about it, you got to be good, you got to mix it with some luck, you got to be healthy, but, you know, I mean, you can be healthy and lucky, but if you're not good enough, you're never going to win that many in a row.
No, you, they've definitely, I think they've only had a few injuries for, you know, two or three games. They've got definitely some depth, but man, their defense is good. Their goaltending's good and they're scoring everywhere. It's, I really haven't seen a team that dominant top to bottom in quite some time, regardless of the sport. So we'll see if they can finish it off. Speaking of a dominant, Ray, definitely not the Edmonton Oilers last night. And the TSN panel definitely was pulling no punches. Oilers fans, some of them were upset about the thoughts between periods on Taylor Hall and the Oilers overall, Ray. Like, how frustrating do you think it is for the players and the coaches right now on this team? Because we're not seeing any true improvement over the last few years.
Well, I don't know what the guy said on the panel, so you know I can't really comment on that. I thought their effort was poor last night. In the first period, they were the shot attempts, you know, shots, blocks, and misses were like 27-6.
Yeah,
that's absurd for that to happen. I mean, to give up the two shorthanded goals that they gave up. The first one, I mean, Justin Schultz, you got to make a read on the play. You either can get there or you can't. And, you know, if you don't get there, it's a 2-on-1. Man, when you're on the power play, there's no need to make that pinch. Because if he pulls out of the zone there, the worst it is a 2-on-2. The Rangers get to center ice and they dump it in the corner and you just restart. I mean, there was no need to take a chance like that. On the second one, could their effort have been any worse? I mean, Zuccarello, they only got two forwards on the ice, and Zuccarello standing all by himself in front of the net. Like, that just can't happen. I think they're frustrated, sure. I think they're disappointed. I think they're embarrassed. And that goes for players and coaches. And there gets to be a certain point where the sense is, and I mean, and it's mine, is that there are no answers right now. I mean, what are you going to do? There's six games left. There's seven games left. Where's the great answer going to come from now?
Well, it definitely isn't going to come this year for sure. It's and I'm not sure, Ray, if there's enough moves can be made in one off season to make a drastic change. Like the at times, it looks like the players are kind of, well, you know, if we get one or two guys, it's going to change. Because, Ray, I understand that better players make guys better, but do better players make other guys battle harder and make more right decisions?
No. I mean, you can't get into somebody's brain and rewire them. I mean, who are the two players they're going to add to turn this around? to the extent that they're a playoff team next year. Sidney Crosby and, you know, and whoever the best defenseman is in the league.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's there's honestly, I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news here, but they're a long way away from being a competitive team.
Yeah.
I mean, they're a long way away. Can you imagine next year? Now, I like what I see from Marinson. I really do. There's really something there. Kloppbaum's 10 games in. I think I'm like him. I don't know. It's 10 games, but I don't look at him and go, well, there's, you know, that kid doesn't have a chance. So if you assume those two kids are going to be there, Darnell Nurse makes the team. So three of your defensemen are going to be under 22 years old. Like, how do you think that's going to turn out? It's another growing year.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, growing. It's got to come to fruition, doesn't it? Because right now, I'll agree with you. I don't see any. There's no improvement. I mean, they're going to finish lower in the standings than they did last year. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, there is no way they can go into next season with the same core of players and expect the results to be greatly different. That core needs to be changed. It needs to be freshened up. It needs to be taken apart in a sense that there's been too much losing, too much acceptance of it, and I think it's got to change. It's no longer about saving face or anything. Oh, gee, we drafted these players. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
The results have not been there. And if you trade one of those, you know, Hull, Nugent Hopkins, Everly, Yakupov, somebody like that, and they go on and have a great career somewhere else, who cares? Because if the pieces you get back for them are the right pieces, it doesn't really matter.
The mix, and we've talked about it, it's not right. They have too much of the same. And you mentioned an interesting thing there, Ray. You've been on winning teams and you've been on losing teams. How do you know when losing's become acceptable?
Well, when the guys shrug their shoulders after a loss, or when they say things like, you know, we're not that far away, and you look at it and you go, well, yes, you are. You know, you start to kid yourself. I mean, as you said, I played on some teams that weren't so great, and I played on some teams that were just absolutely terrible. But the ones that weren't so great, you would say, oh, you know, if we would have got a bounce here, or if we, you know, we were close there, or, gee, you know, we did a good job in that game. Look, the only game they've won in the last week, they gave up 51 shots. Like, Jason, it's unfathomable to me to think that you could look at this and say we're going about it the right way. Because the results, nothing else, the results are telling me that it's not the right way. I'm watching the game last night. On the second shorthanded goal, when Larson turns the puck over, he's the only Oiler on that side of center ice when he gets the puck. Everyone else is on the other side of center.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great, you're all open. How's he going to get it to you? The next shift, they come out. It's 5-on-5. Petrie picks up a loose puck in front of the blue line, like just over top of the Oilers' line, and he reverses it back to his defense partner. His defense partner looks up. All three Oiler forwards are at the other blue line. But that's just, that's lazy. It's no commitment. It's, you know what, I'm just going to go up here. Maybe I'll get a pass. Like, it's losing has permeated the Oilers for 7 or 8 years now. And it's just heavy around. I mean, the air seems heavy around them right now. I mean, you're in the locker room. You see it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not like guys walk around dragging their lips around because you don't have to practice, but there's no expectation that, you know, the light's just around the corner. I mean, there's no expectation of that. Not from whom I've talked to or what I see when I'm there to do games. I don't see it.
How quickly can that change, Ray, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, next spring or next fall, it'll be, you know, you'll be away from the rink for 6 months, everybody, and you'll, you know, there'll be changes that'll be made, and there'll be a sense of newness to the season. But unless the cast of characters are different, how would you expect it to be different? You know, if they come back and there's three or four or five changes and there's nothing significant, where's hope? Where's the beacon that you can tie yourself to and say, you know what, this is what we're going to follow? If they move some deck chairs around, it's just a new year. There has to be, in my opinion, there the biggest have is they don't want to go back to like what Buffalo is right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, because I mean, who wants to go do that? Except they've been in this mud pile for so long. Until you change it, it's kind of the same. So how do you change it? You've got to move a couple of rather big pieces. You've got to make some significant deletions and or additions that change the outlook. The top of the food chain has to be different. And you know, when they're asking 22 and 23-year-old kids to be leaders of that team, and none of them have any winning experience, none, zero, at the professional level. None. How are they going to lead? What's gone right for them in their career? Nothing. I mean, they've got good seasons. Individual points have been fine. They've got, you know, great young contract or great contracts for young guys. None of them have won. Who can be the leader? And don't say Mark Messier could do that at one time or Wayne Gretzky could do that at one time. First of all, that was 30 years ago. Second of all, those were among the greatest players of all time. Didn't matter if they were 21 or 28. They were among the greatest players of all time. Oh, and the supporting cast they had around them, too, was pretty fabulous. And that you just can't say that with these young players now.
Ray Ferraro, analyst for TSN, joins us. The Oilers have been out of it for a long time, Ray. The Toronto Maple Leafs have fallen out of it, the eight straight games. Do you expect major changes in Toronto? What do you see as the biggest issue on that team?
Well, I think there will be. I think there was going to be change whether they make the playoffs or not. You know, a significant number of players. I think in tomorrow's lineup, five of the 12 forwards that'll play will be unrestricted free agents. So there will be some change there for sure. Do you re-sign David Boland to a five-year contract for $25 million?
Mm-hmm.
I'd have a tough time with that one. Nazem Kadri, what are you going to do with him? He's going into the last year of his contract. Well, at the very least, if I'm in charge, he's playing out the last year. Like, that's no great rush to get him signed. I mean, he's had an up-and-down year, and he's got to show some growth to his game before I'm willing to sign him to a longer deal. What are you going to do with your defense? Because it's certainly not good enough the way it is. What are you going to do with your coach? If you miss the playoffs, Randy Carlyle going to be back? And for the people that say you got to fire the coach, if you fire him, who are you hiring? You can't just fire him. Then you got no coach. And you can't expect that Toronto's going to hire an inexperienced guy, a guy that's not coached in the league before, to take over that. For me, I don't see. So what are the problems? Well, they can't defend. That's pretty obvious. They're a one-line team. They get very little secondary scoring. David Clarkson's been an unmitigated disaster with the contract that he signed. Man, they got a lot of work to do in Toronto. I mean, they're ahead of Edmonton for sure. You know, I mean, I wouldn't even debate that. But they got a lot of work to do if they consider themselves a team that can contend for just about anything.
Off season in Canada, Ray, everywhere except Montreal is likely going to be rather entertaining to see all the moves in Vancouver to Toronto to Ottawa, Edmonton, Calgary, the Jets.
Well, don't forget, Jason, everybody's expecting a lot of moves, but you can't invent players.
Yeah, it's very true.
You know, you can't invent coaches. You know, everybody's looking for a big centerman. Everybody wants a winger that can skate and shoot and score and be tough. And, oh, guess what? Everybody's looking for that big mobile defenseman. I mean, if it were that easy to get, everybody would go get him. In the meantime, everybody's going to be looking for the same couple of guys, and there's going to be a lot of teams left wanting.
Ray, one last one for you. You played for a lot of different coaches and, you know, at different levels. And head coaches, guys, whether they were head coach on your team or were they an assistant under the head coach, I think most head coaches have a different personality than guys who are career assistant coaches. I was looking up the numbers, and I found the Oilers only have 6 years of pro head coaching experience on their bench. Aikens is five. Buckberger had 1 year in Springfield. The other teams in the Pacific Division have an average of 26 years of head coaching experience. Never mind some of their assistants, guys who've been around for 20 or 30 years. How much of an issue do you think that is, just lack of overall maybe head coaching experience on a bench? Does that impact things?
Oh, I think it can. I mean, it depends how much you rely on your assistants and what you want your assistants to do and what they're capable of doing. I mean, you know, down in San Jose, for example, I know that coaching staff pretty well. I mean, Todd McClellan was a top-notch assistant, Mike Babcock in Detroit for a number of years. And so he gets the head coaching gig, and look who's on, look who is right now. He's got Jim Johnson. To his left, he's got Larry Robinson. That's a really experienced, really successful coaching staff. I mean, Daryl Sutter has clearly shown that he is a coach before a manager, and he's got two former head coaches on the bench with him, and Davis Payne, who used to coach in St. Louis, and John Stevens, who used to be the head coach in Philadelphia. So I think it gives you a fresh perspective. It gives you another idea. It gives you another, it might give you, when you run into some trouble, another thought of how to go about spurring your team to maybe to a different mindset, to a different place than they are now. And, you know, Steve Smith and Kelly Buckberger have not been head coaches. And, you know, they look at things as you said, from an assistant coach's perspective, perhaps. And, you've got an inexperienced head coach. I mean, he's coached in the American League, but never coached in the NHL. And I mean, you've got to get your first chance, and this is it. I would say this has probably been more of a learning experience for Dallas Eakins than he would ever have anticipated.
No,
like harder than he thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I think. Well, he actually basically said that. From travel to, I think, just learning the NHL and the fact that this team was maybe a lot farther away than he thought from an outsider looking in. Once you get here and you see that, man, the issues are a lot deeper than we think. It's going to be an interesting offseason to see if Craig McTavish will make that move. He said bold moves last summer. Maybe it was just a year early, but I expect. I'm with you, Ray. They got to change the dynamics of their top six, and that means one of those guys got to go.
Well, I don't think they have a choice. I mean, it's not even whether they want to or not. I don't think they have a choice. And honestly, Jason, how long? The other thing to look at here is you're selling a product, right? That the Oilers are a product. How long are people going to continually wait for this rebuild? Are they just going to keep buying tickets so they get dibs on the new arena? Then you're just going to get a more comfortable seat for a team that can't win. Like you want to see growth. The Oilers should consider themselves fortunate that their building's full, because there's not been much to cheer for. I mean, what's that, five times they've been shut out at home this year? Six times? Six times. I mean, seriously. And they're not 1-0. Last night was as dismal a feel around the game that the Oilers have had that I've done in some time. Like, there was just nothing from them last night. They looked like they were out of answers, all of them.
Ray, always good to talk to you, my man. Where are you this week? Where are we watching you?
I got Vancouver Rangers tomorrow here, so I get a game at home, which never happens, which is fantastic. And then I'm in Toronto on Thursday for Boston-Toronto, and I don't think the Leafs can afford one more loss, really. So they'll that takes on probably a do-or-die game for them on Thursday as well.
Ray, well, we'll be watching. We'll talk to you next week.
You betcha, Jason. Thanks a lot.